problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
Rock Park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCity.com.
How far away is the sun?
93 million miles.
Is it?
Yeah. And the diameter of the sun is 870,000 miles, which makes it 109 times wider than the Earth, and 333,000 times heavier than the Earth.
Shut up about the sun!
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey everybody, this is Kevin Farley and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioStPete.com. Yes, we're ready. We're going. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back to the program. I've missed you oh so much. I hope you missed me. You don't have to because you can always go to HMBRadio.com. Check out the new and improved website. Cleaned everything up. It looks fantastic. If you don't, I mean, I know I did it myself. And maybe it's, you know, a lot of hubris there. But I'm really proud of it because I don't know what I'm doing. And I did it. You know, you just tinker around with some stuff. That's the beauty of technology, folks. You know, you figure it out. It's in, you know, you use your ingenuity. You use your, yeah, you got to have some patience. Sure, no doubt about it. You really do to do this type of stuff. But eventually you figure it out. And that's one of the, you feel so accomplished by the time you're done. It's crazy. So make sure you go check out hmbradio.com. There's a contact section there. If you want to get some stickers, you can email me, thehomemadebroadcast@radiostpete.com. You can leave a voicemail or a text message, 813-693-2124. Didn't get that number? Don't worry. Go to hmbradio.com. You can find the number, leave a text, anything you want. I don't care. You know, even if it's mean, I don't, whatever, if that's what makes you feel better. Go ahead. I don't care. That's what it's there for. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with everything happening with HMB Radio. We got events coming up next month. We got news up. You know, check out the blogs. We got a bunch of stuff up. Picks. It's always picks of me. Oh, dang, I didn't get a pick with Becca and Chuck today. We got Chuck Glass and Becca Childs in from the Got Jokes Improv Group. They'll be here shortly telling us about their program on the September 9th at the Stageworks Theater and how to get tickets. And we're talking improv today, folks. Make sure you subscribe, like I said, to keep up to date with future shows. We got potentially another show coming to the network. I'm not even going to bother getting into it until it actually happens, but it should be a good one. Local comedian Kyle Roos has been talking about it for a long time, and he sounds like he's serious this time. We'll see if he does it or not, but hopefully he does, because he's a really fun dude. So I hope so. So we survived the eclipse. A dragon did, in fact, not eat the sun, as some Chinese folklore I've heard believe. I did see, though, the most amusing thing about the eclipse was Shepard Smith from Fox News covering the eclipse, and it was hysterical. And I want to play that for you, but first I want to say thank you to our sponsors because they're nice enough to support me, and that's the only way that I'm supported is through these local businesses. So I want you to go check out these people, give them a chance, go into their bar or their salon or their dog training thing. I guess you can't really go there. You can go to the website for the dog training. Christine comes to you. But thank you to Tap House 61. Check out taphouse61.com. They got a bunch of goodies there. 2061 Central Avenue. Joe's still redoing the place. It looks awesome. It's really the only one of the few places that I hang out in St. Pete. It's either there or pretty much Cage Brewing. Those are the only two places I hang at these days because I'm too old for everything else. But they got great music coming up. Check out the events page on facebook.com/taphouse61. They always got music, and now we got a comedy show coming there on the 23rd of September with Johnny B. and Jonas Presendu and Rachel Rowan. So check it out. Just do it. Trust me. You won't be sorry. Thank you to Truvy Salon and Spa. That's Truvy salonandspa.com. And Chrissy Parker down there doing her thing, cutting hairs and doing all that stuff. Whatever you do in a salon. I'm a dude. I don't really go to a salon very often. But I know that she's nominated for Best of the Bay for her salon skills. So go check her out. TruvySalonandSpa.com. Make an appointment. Go see her. Get your hair did. Treat yourself right, folks. And finally, thank you to Christine at K9Holistics.com. That's K, the number 9, Holistics.com. If your dog's a jerk, you need to do something about this, okay? You can't have your dog running amok. This is one of the most dog-friendly cities in St. Petersburg. A lot of them are well-behaved. Most of them, in fact, are well-behaved animals that won't give you any guff. But, nobody's perfect. That includes dogs. So sometimes dogs can run amok. You got to cut that out. Nip it in the bud real quick. Air bud. Dog. See? All comes full circle here. Christine knows what she's doing. I've seen it work with my friend's dogs. She can teach you how to speak dogs. So check her out at K9Holistics.com. But I want to listen to Shepard Smith talking about the eclipse because he is upset that he's there. He doesn't like it. And I want to play some interview because it was definitely the best part of Eclipse 2017. Shepard Smith from Fox News could not care any less about this. Let's listen to it.
I think the tinfoil hats are just a little bit of a joke, but I don't know. Well, a joke, and you don't really think that you're going to be making me a slave, do you?
What you don't know is that this dissipates all the energy that's coming.
Okay,
out
this
from
is
the
a lunatic. Maybe
us.
This isn't
I don't
the.
I know what it's going to do to you. So good luck, sir.
This is some lunatic
okay, see,
with a tinfoil hat on.
You see what I'm dealing with out here, Shep? This is Solar Fest 2017. Back to you.
Yeah, you need a, you get one of those aluminum foil things. Get one. You need to have one in the next
this
life.
Is bad,
you know what? There's all this excitement. I get it. Great excitement. Dan, here's what I don't get. You know what? This is my iPhone. This is my iPhone. This is my electronic.
Oh, this
Bluetooth.
Isn't the one I wanted. There Bluetooth. Was like a compilation of him, like freaking out. It was really funny though. Oh, bummer. Anyway, you can find it. There's a compilation. Sorry, I let you down there. I should have pulled that clip up beforehand. But anyways, he's just making light of the fact that, yeah, it's just kind of the moon passing in front of the sun. Which I like space stuff, but even I kind of was like, I don't really care. About this, it doesn't. I know it's it doesn't happen very often. It'd be a cool sight to see, but I don't know. It was a little disappointing. It was 80% here, totality, or I guess that's what they called it. So 80% of the sun was blocked out here, which I thought, oh, that would be kind of cool. And something's gonna happen. And pretty much the only thing that happened was it got a little bit darker, and that was about it. Like slightly darker. Maybe like 20%, and couldn't see anything. Sun was still out. It did get a few degrees cooler, though, which I really enjoyed for that brief 5 minutes of relief because I'm so over summer at this point. I'm threatening to move somewhere, Canada, just like everybody else. Coming to Canada, get ready. Not really. All right, this week, let's talk to Chuck and Becca about improv and the Got Jokes improv troupe and their show coming up September 9th. Let's talk to them, shall we? Homemade broadcast here on Radio St. Pete.
40 cents a week. That's what I'm making off this podcast it's right now. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's more than Medicare.
Yeah. It's a Band-Aid. Welcome to the podcast, y'all. We got Chuck Glass. We got Becca Childs here. Becca, I've known a long time. Chuck, I just met today.
Yeah, we're friends. We go back 20 minutes.
20 minutes now. We're good pals. You wiped blood off your leg in my home.
That's true.
I mean, that pretty much, I mean, we're blood brothers at this point. So what's up? You guys got a show on September 9th at Stageworks Theater, 1120 East Kennedy Boulevard. Where do you get tickets at? Just the theater website?
We have a our own personal website. It's gotjokestix.com. That'll take you to our Eventbrite page. You can get tickets for all of our shows that we have.
So how did you all, last time we had, I had Barry and Motown and Tariq. So how did you all, and they were all darker gentlemen. And so I kind of thought it might be a black improv troupe is what I thought it was. And then all of a sudden, Becca, who I've known a long time.
Hello.
And then this other white fella comes walking in. I'm like, maybe I'm wrong.
We're diverse.
We are. We're extremely diverse. Much, much more so than people think. The original, like a lot of the original, what's the word I'm looking for? Like people viewed us. Yeah. People would view us like, oh, you guys have, a lot of black guys in the group, so you're straight. You must be an urban group.
Yeah,
it's never been that way. Even when it was a majority, we had a lot of like Daytime and Barry and Motown and Tarek and Gwiggy and I. I don't know if you've ever met Gwiggy. We were the only two white guys for a very long time, and even still, it was so diverse and so, it was so mainstream that we never it was never so niche. It was just urban. We want to appeal to everybody.
How did you all meet each other?
Like Becca and myself?
Well, no, I mean because I get who founded the Got Jokes?
Motown founded it. Yep, he founded it back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And then he found me. When I first started doing comedy, I would do contest after contest. That's how I got into it, really. And he was one of the judges at a contest. And after a show, he's like, "Hey, do you ever think about improv?" And I've always loved Who's Line, and I used to do it in my living room with a lot of friends. We used to just come over and play Who's Line, made up Who's Line. And he was like, "You should come out and hang out with us." And I was in a contest at the time that they were kind of running, and I was like, "Hey, we can't until after that," because I didn't want it to seem like we were, cheating. And then after, I actually ended up winning that contest, and then afterwards I tried out for the group, and then the rest is history.
So what year was that?
That was 2009.
Okay, so you're kind of one of the original guys, too, that's been in it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Becca, when did you come in to Got Jokes?
Has it been a year?
No. Has it been a year? Not yet.
No, not yet.
Earlier this year.
Yeah. So it was earlier this year. I came as a package deal with CJ Hernandez, who they found via the internet.
Interwebs.
Yeah, because CJ posted a stand-up shot with Sacred Grounds. Remember that place?
Yeah.
Shout out to Sacred Grounds. And yeah, you could see the mural that they had, or that painting.
Yeah, it was the tapestry.
Right. So he knew that CJ was in Tampa, and then had him do stand up on the show, and then had us out for practice. I joined in the practice. I was like, I also do improv and stand up, and hi.
And they're like, hello.
It was perfect. Yeah, hello. Oh my God, they're both awesome. We have to make sure they're part of this family. So. It's history.
So both of your backgrounds are stand-up, started in stand-up. Now, mm-hmm. What do you prefer at this point, improv or stand-up? Because you both do both still.
Yeah. Stand-up.
Yeah.
I like improv, but I'm very challenged by stand-up. And if you have, a really good night of improv, that's nice. That's cool. It has, a different feeling to it. And that has, a different purpose. I love it. But for some reason, it's the stand-up and the challenge of it. And
well, stand-up, it's all you. It's just your faults and your successes all lay on you. You can't say, this other person bailed me out in improv, right?
Well, yeah, the lows are low and the highs are high.
What about you, Chuck?
I started my first taste of... the theater, I was an actor, so I did acting first. and I got my first laugh. I was in a Shakespeare play. I did Midsummer Night's Dream, played the comedic lead, and I got my first taste of laughter, and that was how I got into it. Now, whether I prefer improv or stand-up, it's hard to choose. Mm-hmm. They're different beasts to me, because I like the fact where I like improv because I don't have to prepare. I just go in and I just be me. Stand-up, I like it because, like you said, it's all me. So I don't have to worry about, is that person going to say something that I can play off of? I can just be like, this is how it's going to go for me. I can just say what I want, and this is how it's going to go. So it just it depends. I love them all equally, like they're my children.
Now, have you all noticed, I mean, because you can only put, there's only so much time in a day, you know? And stand-up's a thing where they say if you want to be a stand-up comedian, you have to do 4 or 5 open mics a week. And is that the same thing with improv? Or, I mean, how do you manage both of those things?
We practice every week. We have a practice. We're
tonight,
going to one tonight.
After this.
So, yeah, you have to exercise the muscle. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's a lot of things that you can get out of sync with, just like if you were to stop doing stand-up for a while. And that kind of, and for that, you're running over other people on the stage with you. So the lows are pretty low in improv, too. It's a bad feeling to not help the people who are on stage with you or just not be at your best. So you definitely want to make sure that you're practicing and you're getting better at that, just like you would any other thing that you do.
Yeah, it's always interesting with God jokes, because no matter who we bring in, we've always preached that it's a family. We're working, it's a job, but it's family. So even like we hang out when we're not practicing. So the chemistry is always there. And I think that's what makes us unique, is that it's a little different than everything else.
Now, ideally in a perfect world, should you practice 4 or 5 days a week? With that group, or is it a little different than stand-up?
You get burnt out. You can't do one thing. You know, you have to have a well-rounded life, I think, especially with comedy. Like, this is just my own thought of it, but I think it helps to have a balanced life with that, but you definitely can't neglect it.
Right.
That's the best way to say we can't stand each other.
What?
That was awesome. That was
well, there's only so much you can take of each other.
It really is. There really is. It's mostly me. But
I think we should see other people.
We should see other improv troops.
I've seen a lot of drama in other improv groups in the past from here. And I think, like, it's a bad idea to get in business with your friends. And this is kind of a business, right? And then you can't help but to form some sort of at least menial friendship with these people that you see, you know, at least once a week, and you're hanging out maybe a few times during the week. Has there been any drama in your group?
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's been drama over the years where, like, members and things just weren't. So we always convey professionalism. Mm-hmm. We always preach professionalism. You want to treat this is your career. Anyone could be watching. Try to see it from the audience's point of view, that they paid for the show. You want to give them as professional of a show as possible. There's always been performers that treat it like it's just a hobby. They show up and they've been drinking, you know, different things like that. But there's never been any real interpersonal dramas like, I hate you, you slept with my man. You know, nothing like that. It's not like a soap opera. I mean, we could try that. Maybe it'll be a little different.
Yeah, Tampa could use more drama, honestly.
Yeah, right.
Orlando is really...
Oh, tell me what happened, because I saw CJ post something about that.
I missed that.
He's being a jerk. He's just trying to start things.
It's okay. Yeah, at least this wasn't recorded. That you called him a jerk.
Oh, no, absolutely. Just like interpersonal stuff.
In the Orlando group?
Yeah, the Orlando group.
You don't
have
to name any names or anything, but what happened? What is he talking about? Because I didn't see it.
Which one was that?
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
It was over Jerry Lewis's... Well, one of them was over Jerry Lewis's death. Because somebody had posted on one of their own pages. It's not like he was in the comedy group. Something about how he was a misogynist and bringing up that. Right, and then so you also have people that are like, oh, but his legacy. And so, yeah, there was a big blowout.
Every old person is racist. Can we get over that? They're going to be dead soon.
Yeah, it doesn't
mean it's a different time.
Yeah, and I don't give a crap about
them. Avenue Q touched on that. Yeah, I mean, everybody's a little bit racist.
Yeah, especially old people. Jeez, it wasn't that long ago that, even our parents, that's when it kind of started to get better, I guess, with the civil rights movement. But golly, can't we just say Jerry Lewis added a lot to the comedy world and just leave it at that? That would be good.
And then I'm just going to be like, yeah, okay, cool. I don't really care. if he's a jerk, then like, I don't have to care.
Everybody's a jerk. No one's a perfect person.
Nobody's a perfect person. But like, no, his comments are rough. And if that's like who he was as a person, I don't really have to give a crap about him.
No, you don't.
Nope.
Yeah. But like, that's pretty core and central to like what you believe. And if he is... Even actively acting. If he's acting on those beliefs, which I've also
what was the beliefs that were in question?
You can look it up. I'm not. This isn't. I'm not gonna lie.
I don't know because I have. Yeah. I really don't know. I don't have an opinion about it. Or
he has a very set opinion about the capabilities of women, and I think things like that. So you know, women aren't funny, and the capabilities of them, and trying to keep them,
these are direct quotes that people.
Please just look it up. Don't put me on the spot. I'm not effing Google. I can't even use my dirty words.
All right, so you don't like Jerry Lewis? That's fine.
I don't really care. He didn't really affect my life. I'm sorry. You know,
that's okay.
It's before my time, so I can just be like, he doesn't seem like that great of a guy, but I don't effing know what's going on.
I never understood that stance. Like, there are women who aren't funny. There are also a lot of men who aren't funny.
Thank you, but yeah, exactly. Like, I make that joke all the time. It's just like, yeah, so and so, like, really bombed. Must be because men are just not funny.
Just not funny.
Well, I had heard that there's a biological reason for that. I think about it, it's on a whole. And I mean, I don't know. This is just what
was
I've heard.
Was it like on a red pill website?
No, I don't know.
They had charts, and they said that like women haven't contributed.
I heard it on Johnny B's podcast from Anna, who's his co-host, and she's a sociology major or was in school. And she said there was biological reasons behind it because women don't have to be funny.
That's not biological. It's not biological.
Evolutionary reason then.
No, it's all psychological. There's tests that that women don't try to make as many jokes, and that's just like societal. It has nothing to do with like, oh, you're carrying the young in your womb, so therefore nothing you say is like funny.
I think it's because we have to show off. Like generally, we have to show off.
It's just like men or male peacocks have the feathers. That's
right.
Type of thing.
We're not birds, though. Like you know,
speak for yourself.
Lizards, no, I know.
You're
lizards
a bird.
Do
I'm
things,
a bird.
Like birds do things.
I'm just giving an example.
Yeah.
I hear you. There's like all sorts of arguments you can make one way or the other, but like I don't know. I haven't really felt any biological things keeping me from being funny. But like, let me know by all means, like, as men typically do. So the feedback box is. It's a little stuffed at the moment, but
yeah, right?
I'll clear it out for you.
Do you get a lot of heat, Becca? You seem like you're really defensive about it.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's just the estrogen. It's fine.
Okay. So let's talk about, you all had a PBS filming not too long ago. How did that come about?
It went really well. We have our manager, Julie Knight. She is fantastic. She has gotten us more opportunity because she was an intern for us back when I first started in 2009. And then she got married and moved away, and she started a very successful business over in California. And then I guess her husband got a job back here in home, and she came back, and we thank God she came back because she's gotten us so many opportunities, different shows, put us in different venues and different shows like this one, for instance. And she's just fantastic, and she got us a contact with PBS, and I guess the woman who
ran.
I know. Pisa got stuck in
the Rand.
Yes. She had come to one of our shows years ago and really loved what we did. And she got put in a position to where she could showcase local artists, and we were the first one that came up that into her mind. So that's how we got it.
Shout out to Julie.
What show was it on?
Arts Plus. Arts Plus on PBS.
Was that online? Was that a local local PBS, or did that go like nationwide?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I don't know if it was just local or if it was on nationwide. I'm not sure.
It's a really small segment.
Yeah.
It's packed full of heart.
Yeah. I mean,
packed full of heart.
Packed full of heart.
Like bacon.
That's still a cool thing, though. I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it was huge. It's one of the biggest things we've really done, yes, television-wise.
Second to the homemade broadcast, of course.
Of course. Only second to this one.
Absolutely, yeah.
Top of our
It smells fantastic in here, in the studio, by the way.
You've done it.
I do. I'm a candle guy, and thank you. Chuck is the first person to ever. I've had women in here. I've had all sorts of folks in here. Nobody notices the candle. Chuck was the first one to say, hey, it smells so light.
Because my wife loves, she's a candle person, and she, seriously, we walk into a Bath and Body Works, and she's sniffing candles like Whitney on a coffee table. It's ridiculous.
I do it too. Ridiculous. Because most, I would say the vast majority, around 95% of candles stink to high heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's a personal, like, you know, just your own smells that you like. But have you ever just smelled a candle and said, oh, my God, I cannot imagine anybody burning that in their home?
Anything at Ross. Anything you find at Ross.
That's usually where I get my candles at. I used to get them from a good candle store. My friend owned this candle shop, so I'd always get the hookup, like wholesale on these candles.
Hook up on candles.
Yeah, which I loved. But then, you know, candle business is not what it used to be, so she ended up going out of business.
Since the 1860s.
Yeah. So now where do you buy candles? Where do you buy good candles? I just get them from Marshall's
Bath
or
and
TJ
Body Works.
Maxx.
Bath and Body Works.
Are they the paraffin ones? I don't like the paraffin.
Well, they have a ton of different types. I'm serious. Like, they have, you walk in, sometimes they do, like, it's like $30 or buy three, get two free. And
you got to order them off of Etsy.
That's probably a good idea.
The wood wick, I love Etsy. Soy ones.
How much are the candles on Etsy, though? I would imagine the shipping would be.
The shipping's not bad on a small item. You can get, like, free shipping.
And you support small business.
So I totally support small business. A lot of those, it's like, it's interesting because it's, like, international sometimes. They're just like, you're going to get something from, like, a Bulgarian village. And it's like, wow, I'm really glad. Okay, this is nice.
Ooh, thank you.
The shipping's not outrageous even on that?
Yeah, it would be on that probably. But
I've had to ship things.
It's not bad. They build it into the price usually if it's a small thing.
Because you have to do all these, like, what do you call it, where you have to sign paperwork and have to make sure what it is, and what do you call it? Customs.
Yeah, customs.
It has to go through customs.
I don't like ordering stuff
online. No, I've had stuff come from the UK and not had issues, and all over. I don't know, it just comes late. I've had stuff from China, all sorts of stuff from China.
Yeah. Well, do the Wish thing? You all know, are familiar with the Wish website?
Yeah.
Wish.com. The cheap
super cheap, yeah. Comes direct from China. 80% of the things I bought have been garbage.
Absolutely
that I've
garbage.
Thrown right away.
Yeah,
oh, yes. But
you
every
pay,
once
you
in a while,
pay a dollar, and sometimes it's nice.
We got so many free things when they did Amazon review trading.
Uh huh.
Yeah, they shut that down. But CJ got all sorts of strange gadgets and doodads, and some things that worked, some things that didn't.
Wait, how did you get them for free?
So you would write a review or promise that you would write a review and, like, review the product, and he'd be honest about it, but then they would send you a free or, like, super reduced thing. He has a dash cam in his car.
Mm-hmm.
He got for, like, I don't know, cheap, like, $20 or something. I probably shouldn't say that he got, like, all these, like, he's proud of it, though. he is proud of it. Chinese underwear.
Yeah.
You had to just write a review about it. Just like, comfy.
Yeah, I see all these things on Wish where they're like 5 stars, and I'm like, you are lying. You are definitely lying about this. There's no way it's 5 stars. And then I bought a shower radio thing that you just stick on, and then it's Bluetooth. The phone was louder than the speaker. It was a hunk of junk. But I bought, like, magnets. I got magnets today. Freaking awesome magnet. They're super strong. They're really fun to play with. I got them for the fridge, the old stuff on the fridge. But that's about it. Everything else has been junk.
So
the
magnets
have been the only thing. Spot on.
Like, they had a drone, and it was $29.99. I'm like, would be pretty sweet to have a drone, but
however,
I know when I get
no
it. As soon as it gets, you know, 15 feet up in the air, it's going to be out of signal and come down crashing on me. So
maybe not go where the beach is. You're surrounded by water. This is the best place for a drone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the good ones are cool. Like, I've seen one dude has, like, he gets all these really cool aerial footage of the waterfront, where the pier was, and all that. So I'm like, that could be me.
Yeah, our wedding photographer had a drone.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, you can get the Samsung things that you put on, and then you're, like, flying it with virtual reality.
The VR.
Yeah,
the VR.
The VR.
Yeah.
Yeah,
my friend was chasing her horses around. With one had a cool video of that. I'm like, that's the first time I've ever wanted a drone. That sounds like fun.
Very kind to animals.
Yeah.
So you did the PBS thing. What is the You ever have any beef with other improv groups?
yeah, we do like musical street fights sometimes.
Musical improv street fights.
Yeah, musical.
Because usually there's like more than one group performing, right? There's usually like five or three or something.
At our shows. At like a festival and stuff.
I went to one at the... I want to say the Lunchbox, but I don't think that's it.
Is that over here in St. Pete?
No, it's in Tampa, in Ybor.
Oh, the Box Theater?
The Box Theater.
Yeah.
And there was
like
the
four
box.
Or five groups performing.
So there's different styles. So we actually have an old God Jokes member that's a member of Dear Aunt Gertrude and the Escape Artisans, Matt Rodriguez.
Yes.
I call him Chago. I was making sure I
could remember
his real
name. Yeah, DJ Chago.
Name.
I was making Chago. Sure to let everybody know about that, by the way.
He was he was a member of Got Jokes for a little while, and then he wanted to do more and something a little different. So our style of improv is very different. It's short form, like Whose Line Is It Anyway, mixed with theatrical elements, music, lighting effects, different stage elements, different things like that. So it's more of a theatrical show than just a straight improv where they just come out, sit in chairs, and they just kind of, there's no real, it's all imagination. We actually put some theatrical elements into it, so.
Yeah, we have like a projector, we have a keyboard, the sound is done well. We're in a theater, so yeah, we have lights and different theatrical elements that you're not going to see at a long form improv show, for instance, which is, it's a different experience. We are the Got Jokes experience, so you know that's a whole thing. We bring in stand up comedians. You flew in two people from LA last time. That was super cool.
Yeah,
they were legit
Got Jokes
things.
Members. Yeah, yeah. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary, so we're bringing back a bunch of old members leading up to that show, which is in February. February.
So are there like purists who frown upon this new technology of using projectors and to kind of get the snobs out there?
Absolutely. There's snobs for everything, even candles. So every form of improv has its own, it has merit to it, and it's very difficult to do different things. This is just the style that I prefer, because I, as a stand-up comedian, I don't know about you, Becca, but I like punchline. A lot of long form things, they get one suggestion, they build like a 25 minute scene out of it. It doesn't always have to be funny. It could be dramatic, it could be sad. I prefer, when I go to the theater to watch improv, I think of Whose Line I want funny. Mm-hmm. As funny as possible. So that's just my style, but there's merit to everything. So.
Yeah. We're all very sensitive to what's going on with the audience, because we're all coming from, mostly everybody in the group has a stand-up background or a theater background.
Or became a comedian.
Or
a
became
comedian
a
stand-up because of the group.
Right, yeah. So I think that's just a different type of performer than maybe other groups that have a theater and they only do improv in that theater. We're going to a theater that does all sorts of productions and shows, and we're putting on an improv show. It's kind of a different model where, you know, we're not selling tickets or to classes. We're selling tickets for shows and instead of classes.
Teaching classes.
The classes.
Which we do.
They go
we
through
do
the levels. Well, we don't do levels in classes, and you have like a show at the end of the season.
By the way, it's in the works.
Yeah, that's not us. We're just a bunch of performers who
we
want to
make you
punch
laugh.
It out. Yeah,
we want to make you laugh, and that's what we do.
Chuck Glass and Becca Childs are here. They have a show at the Stageworks Theater coming up on September 9th. What is some people's aversion to improv? There is, I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of one of them, where I think stand-up comedy is such a pure art form. I can't really tell you why. I could just, it's my own bias that I have. So why is that, do you think?
Did you enjoy the show Whose Line as a kid?
Yeah, I loved it.
Me too. But then I got into college and started doing the long form thing, and I was like, this doesn't fit with what I found funny. It's not as punchy. It's not as quick-witted and all these things that I thought of when I thought of short-form improv. And so I'm glad to be back doing that, because I think that that's where I like to see that. So it is a little bit different. I'd encourage you to give it a try.
I feel that people don't believe it. Like, when you see stand-up, you're like, okay, this person has written these. They know what they're going to say. And we go out there, and I've had people come up, God, I can't count how many times. And they're like, there is no way that you made that up on the spot. I'm like, I swear to God, I made that up. There's no, like, it just, we're just funny people being funny on the spot.
And the chemistry.
Chemistry is a huge part of it. And a lot of people just don't. I don't know if they
Well, it's just riffing, right? You're kind of just riffing with somebody. So you really can't practice that anyway. So meeting once a week, going over
what
the
stuff. What we practice is we practice teamwork.
The games, how the games work.
How they run.
Yeah, you don't want to see that going badly. You have to have that internal structure.
Yeah, because each game has its own set of rules, and we try to stay within those rules. And then we practice chemistry. So sometimes Beck and I don't work together in scenes, but that's
because... I want to kill this guy.
Right. Most of the time. Good luck. You're not the first person. So sometimes I would force us to work together so we could put anybody anywhere. And I put people in games where they don't normally play to kind of get them out of their comfort zone. That's what we work on when we say practice. We're not rehearsing. We're trying to build stronger team bonds.
Mm-hmm. I got you. So, that was my next question, how much of the improv is improv? So it's really just working on the structure of the show, moving down the list. You know, we're going to do this at this time, and then after that we're going to do this, and it's kind of just working your way through.
Yeah, and that's my job, and that's Barry's job, who you met. We're the creative directors, so we come up with a lineup of the games and try to put the cast where we feel that they would be, what they've been working on, and what's strongest for the show and for their personal growth. And the only thing that's planned in the show is what music plays before, what music plays after, and who's going to introduce the game.
This kind of goes back to the practice thing, because you can have in mind what's satisfying for that game. Not to say that, like, oh, I'm going to be a wizard and I'm going to wrap it all up by casting my spell, like, every time I do it. You know, no, it's you adapt with what's happening, but you kind of need to have this pacing to know this game needs to wrap up. And sometimes we're pretty blatant with each other. There's some of that meta. It's like, wow. like, I think Barry. Yeah, Barry. Yeah, Barry definitely threw some very... pointed comments to me, like, through character, but just being like, yeah, is this going to wrap up soon? Like,
yeah, sometimes we break the fourth wall. Sometimes it's so...
So you have to know, right. Yeah. So it's like, did we reach the goal of this thing? Or if not, you need to find, like, the button. So that's a big thing with improv, is, like, what's the big laugh moment? Where do you end? And, you know, even if it's not winning the game, because that isn't funny sometimes, so you know,
who makes that call when they're like, okay, we're done? Anybody can kind of do it, or
Motown is usually the host of the show, but each game has its own individual host, so sometimes I'll host, sometimes Beck will host, sometimes Barry will host, sometimes Quiggy will host, and some of those games are structured, like, we play a game called Jeopardy, where it's just like Jeopardy, except that we make up the categories as we go, and people give us answers, and we make up answers to those questions that they ask, or we give them questions to those answers, and that's structured as in we play Final Jeopardy and we'll just keep doing that, and that's how that goes. But Motown usually watches, and when he get a big laugh or a big climax, he'll call scene and we'll black out. So.
He moved, didn't he?
He did. He moved to Charlotte.
We miss you.
We do. We miss you.
And is Barry, he going to be down for the show on the night?
Him and Barry moved to Philadelphia.
Oh, really?
But I'm the head. I'm in charge in town still. And then they fly down for all the shows.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, and then we fly to wherever. Like, if we have shows up there, I'll fly up there. Or, you know, vice versa.
How many people are in the group total?
Jesus.
Calculator.
I gotta think. Because Vinny, so
everybody
just,
flies,
Vinny just moved.
Everybody flies around?
That's still in the works. It's in the plan. So, but Vinny just moved to New York.
Yeah.
But I think we had 10 active members at one time. I think that's the most, this year is the most we've ever had. So
do you kind of hold, like, open auditions once a year or something that people are interested in joining? Or?
We don't, we've done one open audition. That's how the group started, with an open audition. So we've had a couple. But a lot of times it's like, I saw Becca and CJ, and I brought them in just to kind of hang out at a practice and throw them into stuff they want to try. If it works out, cool. If not, cool. At least we got to hang out. We got to meet new people. And that's usually how it happens. Cast members will see somebody or meet somebody, and we'll bring them in, and we'll see how it works, and that's how it goes. Sometimes it works. Sometimes they just don't get the concept that we're working for. Sometimes they want to do something a little different.
It's like a Tinder process that we have.
Really? Very, swipe right, swipe left.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a meeting. They're like, all right, which way are we swiping for these guys?
We do. We actually do vote. We do vote on people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an invite only. Like if you see somebody out that you think would be good, mm-hmm. hey, come hang, and maybe we can work you in. Yeah.
We have a lot of people approach us as well. I get emails, and Motown gets emails, like, hey, I'd really be interested, and we take a look at them and see if, sometimes we secretly stalk people at their own shows to see if they would fit. And
yeah, you did a good amount of stalking on CJ.
I did stalk CJ. It's hard to make me laugh. I'm a comedy snob when it comes to that kind of stuff. I really enjoy and appreciate things, but I may not outwardly laugh, and CJ made me outwardly laugh. I was like, all right, I got to see him live. Then he made me outwardly laugh, and I'm like, all right, let's see what we can do.
So the show is September 9th. You can get tickets at your website, which is gotjokes.com.
Gotjokes.tix, T-I-X.
T-I-X.com. And then you all have social media that you're on?
Absolutely. Twitter, Instagram, BECX2X. It's mine.
All the twits. And yeah, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. It's at the, T-H-E, Chuck Glass.
Very good. Thank you all for coming in. Good luck on the show on the night.
Thank you for having us. Thanks,
man. There you go, the Got Jokes team. Well, two of the numerous amounts of members of that team of Got Jokes, Chuck and Becca. Go see them on September 9th at Stageworks Theater. Go to gotjokestix.com. Get your tics and enjoy the show. Thank you for tuning in this week. I will be back next week with another episode from somebody living in the Tampa Bay area who's doing stuff that you should know about. Make sure you like the Facebook page, facebook.com/HMB Radio. Keep up to date. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for HMB Radio Tampa Bay, Hotel Mike Bravo, HMB Radio Tampa Bay. Catch me on the Johnny B Show every Wednesday, 10 to midnight, 1025 The Bone or thebononline.com. What else? Like Radio St. Pete, too. Just Radio STPETE on Twitter, on Instagram, on many numerous things. Oh, hold on. Come on in, Beck. Just doing the outro.
I'm
going to
ruin everything.
No, you're doing fine. Yeah, you need your purse. Beck forgot her purse.
Featuring Beck.
Yeah. See you, Beck.
Yeah.
Have a great week, everybody. Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Later.
Problems. It's human nature to hate problems. But why is that? After all, problems inspire us to mend things, bend things, make things better. That's why so many people work with IBM on everything, from city traffic to ocean plastic, new schools to new energy, flight delays to food safety. Smart loves problems. IBM. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/smart/UK to learn more.
This is a message from the government. Coronavirus is a national emergency. Life-threatening for people of all ages, everywhere in the UK. To help save lives, you must stay home. Only go outside for food, health reasons, daily exercise, or to work. But only if you cannot work from home. Stay home. Anyone can get it, and anyone can spread it. Stay home to help protect the NHS and frontline staff working to save lives. Coronavirus. Stay home, protect the NHS, save lives.